Hello, everyone. Welcome again to another Word for Today with Ray. It's always a joy to come together in front of God's Word, knowing that He desires to teach us about Himself and His Son Jesus and His ways. So before we begin today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, it's such a joy to know that You have set us free, and free indeed in Jesus Christ, Your Son. I pray today, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, that You will teach us those things that You want us to know, and Lord, that You will open our hearts and minds, our eyes and our ears to receive from You those things that will help us to live in a way that is pleasing to You, and Lord, empower us to live that way, we pray. And we'll give You thanks for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The title to today's lesson is The Outward Profiting Nothing, and it's taken from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 2. Paul the Apostle spent four chapters explaining to the Galatian church members how keeping the law differs from the grace of God through Jesus Christ. He has begun chapter 5 of his letter to them by sharing how they should stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made them free. In chapter 5 and verse 2 of the book of Galatians, Paul addresses a specific group of members within the church and explains how their lack of liberty leads to unprofitableness. He wrote, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." Paul begins, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you." In other words, look, pay attention, observe, that it is Paul the Apostle who is writing these words. Paul wanted these members' attention. And like a military reveille, Paul desires that they awake from their mental stupor by knowing who it is that is addressing them. He continued that if you be circumcised. When God made His covenant with Abraham of old, He initiated the idea of circumcision. The foreskin of males was to be cut off to symbolize the putting away of the flesh. Every male child was born thereafter was to be circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. This was a covenant for the descendants of Abraham, and therefore belonged to the Jews. Gentiles were not a part of this custom unless they joined the Hebrew religion. The Galatians were Gentiles, and the Judaizers were attempting to convince them, as part of following Jesus Christ, that all males must be circumcised. It is this idea that Paul is addressing. And he wants them to remember just who he is that is addressing them. Paul adds, "Christ shall profit you nothing." In other words, there is no benefit to following Jesus Christ if there is a return to this old covenant idea. In the book of Acts of the Apostles, in chapter 15 and verse 1 and 2, we read, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you are circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question." This was the beginning of the first church council in Jerusalem that addressed the idea of circumcision and following the law for righteousness before God. Paul says, "If these ways are true, then Christ shall profit you nothing." It was not as though those who were already circumcised could not profit from a relationship with Jesus Christ, but rather the notion that circumcision in and of itself was a means to being righteous before God was an error. It was by Jesus Christ that righteousness before God comes, and those who rely upon, cling to, and trust in Him stand liberated and righteous before God. Once again, we are challenged to think about ways in which we serve rules, regulations, and traditions within our walk with God. Do we think certain paths other than faith in Jesus Christ must be followed for us to be saved? Are there acts of obedience with which we must comply to be righteous before God other than faith in Jesus? If not, we align ourselves with Paul, and Christ profits us. If so, perhaps we should lay aside these things and trust that God's plan for the salvation of man is best. Next time, we will see how following one aspect of the law makes us a debtor to all the law. So read ahead and let us join together then. Until tomorrow, there is more. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace as you continue to study his word in Jesus' name.